Good afternoon and welcome to the Empower Source Fill Up podcast. My name is Elizabeth Johnson Phillips and I am the content leader for Empower Source. And I am here today talking with our fearless leader, almost said fearful, but that would be the opposite of what I mean. Our fearless leader, Tiffany Joy Green, our co-founder and chief growth officer, otherwise known around these parts as Manic Maple. Just would like to let you know, Manic Maple, I am drinking Tim Hortons coffee right now. Yes.
You know what makes that Tim Hortons coffee just perfect?
Alcohol.
Okay. You know what make it perfect for me?
Okay. Sorry.
Dutchies. Have you ever had Timbits? You're looking at me like you've never even heard the word Timbit.
I understand the words coming out of your mouth, but what they mean, I have no idea. So please inform me.
Timbits are the donut holes.
Okay, so it's like the Munchkins.
Timbits. And Dutchies are a glazed donut with raisins inside them. Yeah.
No, thank you. No,
Americans
thank you
don't like the raisins as much as the Canadians.
Correct.
I love me some raisins.
And ladies and listeners here, there you get, you're getting all the facts that Americans don't like raisins. I don't know if you knew that, but you can learn a lot on today's podcast.
Yes, you
not can. Just about business planning, but also about the eating habits of Americans versus Canadians.
Timbits, in fact, when they decided to franchise across the border into the United States, they did not bring the Dutchie over because Americans don't like raisins.
Because it's grody.
No, it's not.
Because it's grody.
Mm-hmm. I love raisin cookies too.
I don't mind raisins in my oatmeal cookies.
We'll see. Don't knock it till you try it, Elizabeth. Next time you're ever in
the next time I'm in Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
I know how much you love those ketchup chips.
I do love me some ketchup chips. The last time I was in Canada was the mid 80s. Maybe even the beginning of the 80s. So it's been a minute.
I guess so. But they were around. The Dutchies did exist back then.
Okay. Well, given that I was a child, I think my preference for non-raisin things was even stronger then. But yeah. So okay. We're here today to talk about business planning, everybody's favorite subject, which actually is a lie. It is my experience that people don't like the planning.
Say it ain't so, Rose.
It ain't so. And my name's not Rose. Once again, my name's Elizabeth Johnson Phillips. I'm the content leader here at Empower Source. You hired me. You should know my name.
We're a girl.
We're a girl. Something like that. Yeah. So talk to me a bit about why people don't like business plans.
Well, it's hard for me to relate because I absolutely love plans.
Yeah, we know you love to plan.
Mm-hmm. People don't like, generally, small business owners specifically don't want to sit down and have to plan because in their mind, when you're planning, you're not doing. And if you're not doing, you're not making money. So it's hard for them to digest the concept that actually doing business planning will actually be a much bigger reward than just getting out there and just doing. It's proven that business planning will get you to where you want to go faster. So the fastest growing companies have business plans.
Something like 71% of the fastest growing companies have business plans.
Yes. Also, you can't even get a loan if you don't have a business plan. You can't get investors if you don't have a business plan. A business plan is generally your roadmap. So, but it takes time. It takes a lot of planning and sitting down and not just thinking about, okay, how do I make the product or how do I offer the service and how do I get it out there? But it takes, why do I want to do that? What am I trying to get out of the business? So it takes actually more than just from the business standpoint of it. It takes some self-awareness, some self-digging to really get to the root of why are you going into business anyway? Or why had you gone into business? And, you know, sometimes as a business owner, you go into business with this one goal in mind. And now over the years, guess what? Your goals may have shifted. They may have changed. And what you want to get out of the business is something different than what it was when you first started going into business. So when that happens, your plan also, your business in essence, your plan is your business, needs to reflect that change.
So you said earlier that a business plan is a lot like your roadmap. So let's take that metaphor and work with that and thinking that if I were to go on a trip, if I'm going on a journey or a destination, if I were to go visit a friend who lives in Denver, let's say, I wouldn't just get in my car and head west.
Well, let's take a look at that analogy a little bit deeper, because this is how I would view this analogy. So if you are a person who's looking at starting up this business, let's say you're really good at crochet and you just want to crochet some, you know, winter garments like scarves, hats, gloves, and you're planning on selling them on Etsy. But it's a sideline hustle. Does your plan need to be as robust for coming from Richmond, going all the way to Denver? Not so much. Maybe you don't even necessarily need a full-on plan. But you, as a mom now, if I'm going to pack all four kids in my car and go all the way to Denver, you got to have some serious planning in place to make
that. I either need a plan or a large amount of snacks or pharmaceuticals. Because otherwise no one's getting out alive.
Well, that's the same as a business, right? So you got to plan as you're planning for that. You know, you need to have snacks or your kids are going to get hungry and you can't stop in every single town along the highway. You know, you're going to have to, you know, plan for some pit stops because, you know, people are going to have to use the restroom. There's so much you got to have. OK, what are they going to do while they're sitting in the car for how many hours is that? I'm not quite sure. Let's say 16 hours. What are they going to do in the car during that trip to stay entertained? There's so many things. So as a mom, right, you're planning ahead long before you ever deport from your driveway. You're thinking about, you've made a plan. You made a plan of what to pack for the kids. You made a plan for what you're going to pack for the road trip, for when you get there and for when you get back. Right. Because, you know, if you didn't do that, your trip is pretty much going to be miserable.
It's this metaphor of me in my car with my children for 16 hours, round trip, 32 hours. It's causing me great anxiety and it's not even real. So there obviously is a lot to think about in terms of business planning, coming up with things. There's definitely some headaches involved and then it can be really overwhelming. But I do sort of to take the analogy, you know, to keep working with the analogy, there are certain things, if you have a plan in place, life's going to happen. I think if 2020's taught us anything, it's that, you know, make sure, write some plans, but have them be in pencil, but you're much better able to adjust or pivot more quickly if you at least have a roadmap going. Like if I'm driving to Denver and all of a sudden there's a traffic jam somewhere in St. Louis, I can adjust. Mm-hmm. I can look at that GPS and adjust the map. Whereas if I, once again, we're just heading west, I would not know what to do. And I wouldn't know what was coming down the pike. Whereas with business planning, you are able to look at the market and look at things that people are already interested in, look at trends and have a better ability to forecast what's coming up. Would you say that's correct?
That is correct. So in your business plan, not only are you looking at it from the marketing standpoint, which is what you were just addressing, but you got to look at it from, you know, kids are going, why are we doing this anyway? So that's kind of like your foundation of your success planning. Right? Like, why are we going on this trip, mommy? If you say, I don't know, enjoy that trip. You're going to have no hair by the end of that trip. So you got to know your why. So you can sell that why to your family, right? You also, again, the marketing is also, that's the internal why, but then there's the external why. Why to everybody else, right? Because on that trip, as you're undergoing at points, maybe some anxiety, some stress, you got to go back to, I really wanted to go to Denver to see my friend. I mean, this is all worth it because I really wanted to see. It's about staying grounded, right? And then the marketing is about the external why. But also, you got to know, how am I going to fund this trip? You got to plan for every checkpoint along this trip. So there comes cash flow, right? Do I have enough cash? Just to get there, because I can't ask my friend Sue for a bunch of money to help feed me and my four kids all the way back to Richmond and cover my gas and whatnot. So you got to be able to fund that whole trip and make sure you have enough cash. And also keeping in mind like certain things like ATM limits, for example. That's a good correlation with cash flow planning. So then you have operations, right? Now, typically, ideally, the best way to do a trip like that is so you wouldn't have to be necessarily the only driver, right? So that way, there was another adult in the car, or at least somebody over the age of 16, so you could split up those sessions a little bit. That's kind of like the operations of it. Also, checking the air in your tires, making sure your tires are good, the gas, all those. Do we have enough windshield wiper fluid? Are my tires snow ready for Denver? That's operations as well.
Now, as two things here. Number one, I am now beginning to believe that this planning for this metaphor that the best option is to not go on this trip.
I don't think I sold it from the beginning.
Go by myself and not with my children and to fly. That's A. But B, in terms of thinking about, you know, you're talking about operations and these sort of high level things, but let's start, Sound of Music. Let's start from the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. What are the first steps in business planning that we need to take? What is the very first things you need to figure out? You've mentioned know your why, you've mentioned know your market. What are some of the things that a person would need to really set themselves up to plan for success?
So the first thing I always say to anybody who's thinking about either A, starting a business or has a business and they need to create their very first business plan, because there's many business owners out there who never actually created a plan, is really getting to success planning. What is the why of you running the business? What do you personally enjoy out of it? What are you good at? What do you hate? What do you want to get out of it? What is your financial goal? Is your financial goal to create a public company at some point? Is it a goal of yours to be able to sell this business at some point for your retirement? What is your goal? Because you know what? You will hate your business if it doesn't feed you. And I don't mean just buy your groceries. I mean, feeding your soul. If it's not feeding what you are, I know this sounds very
hippy dippy.
Yeah, but it is what it is, and I own it. If it's not feeding you and your soul, you're going to hate it and you're not going to stick with it. And ultimately, it's going to fail. Because, you know, running a business is not easy. You know, I think there's this mental picture in a lot of people's minds that if I own a business, I can take whatever time I want off. I'm not going to have to do the 9 to 5 anymore. No one's going to
play golf.
Yeah, I'm going to be the bosses that they always told me what to do. Unfortunately, that is not an accurate representation of what being a business owner is. The truth is you're going to live and you're going to breathe that business. You may not be able to take any time off for years, although you'll be able to take off more time if you plan accordingly. But it's all about, so if you're not enjoying what you're doing, do you really want to devote that much time to it?
Yeah, because also, it's going to be extra work.
And it's going to be more work than any other job
you love and passionate. Yeah.
It's like if you're a parent, you know, even when your head hits the pillow, you're still mom or dad. You're still a parent. That job never ends.
It's unfortunate, but yes.
It's the same as true as being a business owner. No matter, it's ongoing 24/7. You're always thinking about it. You're always thinking about your employees. You're always thinking about the betterment of your business. So if that doesn't appeal to you, then you shouldn't be a business owner. That, you know, and that's good too, because guess what? In the business planning process, you're not only are you planning for the business, and by going through success planning, you may discover owning a business isn't for me. And that's okay too, because why would you want to spend the funds and the time to do something that's not meant for you? So success planning is really the first step.
You know, what's your, the second step? I know when you've talked before about business planning, you talked about like building a house, and success planning is sort of the foundation upon which the other steps. So if we go from our foundation, then what's the first floor? I think you talked about it before, like sort of market planning. What all does that entail?
So in your business plan, let me rephrase that. 70 to 80% of your business plan is actually your marketing plan. And so you might be like, well, geez, that's like most of it. Why? Well, I think I've said this to you before. When you think of a business, what's the one thing you could, is there anything you could not have to make that business successful? What's the most important thing to make a business successful? So a lot of people would say, well, if you don't have the product, you don't have a business. Okay, that's true. If I don't have the machinery to make the product, I don't have the business. If I don't have the people to make the product, they don't have this. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a customer, you literally have no business.
Yeah.
And so if you have no business, that's literally you have no business being in business. So you really got to go. Marketing is about establishing what is your why. And I think I said this before, just earlier, about good food. So you have good food. So why is that person going to go to you for the good food? What's making your food different than anybody else's food? Right. So it's about developing
your business apart. What's your unique selling proposition?
Correct. And it's about the USP. It's about, as I always say, marketing isn't about creating demand. It's about meeting demand. So if you haven't done your proper research in the market in which you want to serve, you don't really understand the demand of the market. You can think you know, but more times than not, you're going to find out, oh my gosh, I was wrong. So like a good example I had was I had one client. She wanted to open a bakery and she came to me and she needed some funding. So she came to me for help on her business plan. And she said, well, this is what I think. Here are my financial projections. And I said, I looked at the financial projection. And I said, where did you get these numbers from? And she says, she got them from another source, which I can't cite. And I said, well, they look kind of generic. Have you proven this? Have you gone to the market to be able to do this kind of forecasting? She said, no, this is an industry trend. I said, this doesn't seem like an industry trend based on like a small bakery. So I said, I don't think this is accurate. I think you need to kind of step back from this and do some market research to determine who your target market is. She was pretty upset with me because she felt like she thought she was like 90% done with her business plan. And I pretty much told her she was almost at ground zero. So she left my office and I'm like, I don't know. It's a good chance I may never see her again. But in a couple of weeks, she came back and she said, I thought a lot about what you're saying. And you know what? I'm willing to do the work. She says, because if I do this work and I find out I'm right, then I feel good about it. But now you planted the seed and now I'm doubting it. So if I find out I'm wrong, then you've also saved me. So fine, I'll do the work. So she did the market research that I advised her to do and came to find out that her financial forecast was completely wrong. She had banked on a certain amount of volume coming into her bakery, placing a certain number of orders that just wasn't realistic. And so we flipped the model on its head and about, I think it was like 70-80% of her business was commercial and only about 20% of her bay was based on foot traffic, which was completely different, which also helped her get a ton of letters of intent from a variety of commercial businesses to order big goods from her before she even got the loan. So by the time she had all this market research and accurate financial forecasting in her business plan, she went to the bank and guess what? They granted her not just a loan, but an SBA loan, which is really hard to get, especially for a bakery. But because she did the appropriate homework, business plan, she was able to get the funding and she ended up winning an award the next year for an SBA award.
Well, that was your award. Did she give it to you?
No.
She should have.
But she gave me lots of free desserts.
Well, that was good. Tiffany, would this be the part of the day where I remind you to turn off all your notifications and electronics?
Yes, ma'am.
Because you are blowing up over there. Tiffany Joy Green, ever popular. So after you've got your market research, you've done your buyer personas, you figured out what your sales strategies are, your marketing strategies, what's next? What's that next floor?
Well, let me add on, cause you just said a lot of stuff there in terms of marketing, but also remember in the marketing portion, you're going to want to hit the four P's of marketing, which is the product, the packaging, the placement and the price. That's, you have to hit all four P's in that segment. And then of course the sales. So after you've built, what are you thinking about?
I can't say it on this.
Okay. So after you get to the marketing segment, you're going to go to the next floor, which is your attic. And this is where you really build on your operations and your cash flow. And I like to, right after I get done with marketing, I usually like to get right into cash flow because they really piggyback off of each other. Because once you forecast your revenue and your sales, that helps you determine what your cash flow needs are going to be. And it also, obviously, you plans your operations based on it. So if you know when you first start out, there's a lot of variations here. There's no real rule here. But depending on what industry you're starting on, usually, you know, your first month is not going to be your banner month. It takes time to build momentum and really go. So, you know, you're going to have to plan for maybe a smaller revenue amount. But as the year or sorry, months progress, your operations, your sales should increase, which therefore mean your operations increase, which means your cash reserve also needs to increase. So you need to prepare. So a lot of times, I saw this all the time, when somebody's doing a business plan, and especially when they're doing a business plan in hopes that they're going to get some sort of financial investment, either by a bank or by investors, they ask for money for things like, I want to purchase this building to do whatever business. I need this machinery. I need these startup costs. But that's a huge mistake. What they should be asking for is not just the stuff to cover the overhead, but they need to ask for a cash reserve to manage your cash flow, because they're going to be cash flow poor to start off with for most businesses. So really, when you're borrowing, you really want to be thinking about managing that cash flow so it gets you through the hard times, especially if you're like in a business like landscaping.
It's seasonal. That's what I was about to say, that some businesses are going to be more seasonal. You know, that person crocheting, setting up that side hustle, they're probably not crocheting in the summer.
In the summer to gear up for the winter, but they're not selling.
Right.
So they got to plan for their cash reserve so they have enough cash to buy yarn and whatever they need in the summer to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was I going to say? So, well, it's kind of like the landscapers. They'll blow your leaves or they clean your gutters or whatever in the winter months rather than just mowing your lawn and doing stuff during the summer. So you've got, okay, so we've got success planning, then we've got market planning, then we've got cash flow planning. I know you love this because these plans are building upon one another. These plans have plans. We've got operations planning. What's next? Through all this, I'm not hearing anything about like how to scale or like your people or things like that. Is there a way to sort of finalize the plan or to determine like the scope of what your business should be and those sorts of things?
That's in the operations. So when you're doing your operations plan, that's when you're thinking about your people, your human capital, and what you need in order to scale. What people, what roles are they going to have? And also, very importantly, a lot of times what a business owner fails to do is, what is your role? Because the one thing a business owner doesn't want to do is end up being everything. Because if you end up doing everything, the big things don't get done. So you really want to think about that in your operations plan as to who's going to do what. So you want to make sure that you do what you're good at. So let's say you are that person who's starting the restaurant and you make good food. Hopefully it's something beyond the good food element. Maybe you make great Thai food with Italian flair. Who knows? Somebody's coming up with something different every day. So you make the food, but you're probably not going to be the best marketer. Who's going to do that?
Not be the best business manager or the front of house person. You can't be the chef and the hostess and the waitress and the marketer and pass out the menus and bust the tables. You can't be all those things. And you're going to lose money if you're trying to do all those things, because a bus boy is not paid the same as a chef.
Well, and you just can't scale that way, right? Yeah. And what's the opportunity cost? If you're thinking you're saving money, in essence, what opportunity are you missing out because you think you're saving money? Truthfully, the opportunity cost is far greater than the money you think you're saving. So when a lot of times that's another, I hate to say it, but it's a lot of times another mistake when the business owner doesn't plan or budget accordingly for things that will actually help grow their business. It's less important focusing on what the bottom dollar budget is than what the ROI is. So if you're spending I'm just going to guess a number here. This number means nothing. But let's say you spend $20,000 on marketing a year. Don't belabor the point that you're spending $20,000 a year on marketing if it's making you $2 million a year.
That's a pretty good return on investment.
Right? But I don't know how many times I've heard a business owner and they're like, well, I'm spending 20, like the number of 20 is like stuck in their mind. And they're like, that's just too much. I shouldn't be spending that much on marketing. That's not the question to be asking. The question is, what is the return on investment on? Same is true, not just in marketing, but the same is true on every purchase you make. Same is true on your IT. If the what is the return on, you can, oh, geez, that software program is just so expensive. But if it's making, if it's working with your workflow and it's making you be more efficient, what is the return on that? What is the return on having a host versus seat yourself? What is the return? Like, so there's so many ways of looking at the business plan forces you to look at the dollars and cents, but more importantly, evaluate the dollars and cents to determine, is there a return on investment on what I'm planning on investing in? Am I getting out what I need, what I'm putting, am I getting more out of what I'm putting in? Be good, Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm always good. no, okay. So if I'm wanting to create a business plan, is there a way I can get you to do it for me?
I can do it for people, but honestly, I prefer working with somebody, because if they're putting the pen to paper, so to speak, they're going to learn their business better. If I can know all the ins and outs of it, but at the end of the day, I'm not running the show. So what good is it if I do all the work for you? I can help people go through the process. So we have a business planning boot camp, and through that process, there's four courses, which is your success planning, your marketing, your cash flow, and your operations. And by going through that course, by the time you're done, you get homework assignments. There's going to be work. I'm not going to lie. But if you're not ready to do the work, I hate to say it, maybe you're not a business owner, because honestly, being a business owner is about doing work. So you got to, I take you through each of the courses. At the end of each course, you're going to have homework. And by the time you're done with the course, all four of them, you'll have either an outline of a business plan or a fully written business plan that you can begin implementing or even take out to get for financial review for a loan or investment.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this business planning bootcamp.
So the business planning bootcamp is something that I actually used to do a few years ago. Well, that's more than a few, I guess. But it was when I used to run a SBA Women's Business Center. I put on what's called a Core 4 program. And through the Core 4 program, this is their philosophy, right? These are the four major business segments of a business plan, which it is what is a business plan. It's not just the Core 4 methodology. That's, in fact, if you go to anywhere, whether the SBA, a bank, anywhere, they're going to say these are the four segments of a business plan. But what Core 4 did is it broke it down in these four segments, and they created this really nice manual and homework assignments to help people write their business plan, because you can find consultants who will write them for you. The problem is they don't have the vested interest in them as much as you do. And so they're going to want to turn it off quick. So are they going to go like the lady who came in with the bakery and she had the forecast that was not correct? Where do you think they pulled those numbers? They pulled those numbers online. They weren't specific to the market in which she wanted to serve at all. So by you doing it, you know, you're learning your business, the ins and outs of it. And it's also guaranteeing like everything's kind of credible, but most importantly, that it's falling within your own success plan. Because my goal for Empower Source may not be what John Smith's goal is for the automotive repair shop, right? So you can't be disconnected from the process. You have to be connected.
So and how
that's really what I like about the Core 4 program, is that it is not just about the training. It's about education. It's about educating the business owner so that way they're learning about their business and themselves.
How would I go about signing up? Like you mentioned this business planning boot camp. It sounds great. If I'm coming to you, you're going to help me do the work. You're going to ask the important questions. You're going to draw all the information out of me and sort of give me a roadmap to find my own roadmap. So how would I sign up for that? What is all is that entailed? How does that look? Is it sort of you just mentoring me? What is that?
So we will So what I like to do is I like to offer the business bootcamp to an actual organization. So that way, especially for an organization that has multiple decision makers or high level decision makers, that way I can give the business plan to them as a group. And then possibly each one's going to work through it, but each one's also maybe like an expert in their field. So if it's an organization, let's say, who has an accountant or CFO, obviously they might want to really focus in on the cash flow portion of the business plan. Somebody who, and if they have an HR person, they might want to focus a little bit more on the operations, you know, so they can break it up within the organization. So they will go into that class with me together, and we will go through each of those four segments together, each of those four classes. Each class is about 2 hours long. And after that class is over, as a group, we'll sit and I do a facilitated roundtable discussion to kind of get the juices flowing, to get them thinking about what they just learned, to get the ideas spinning. And then that way that'll help foster them getting their homework done, but really thinking and working together.
That makes sense. And if I want to take this class, do I just email you? Or how do I get that information?
The best way to get that information is, one, you can go to our website, which is empowersource.com, or you can reach out to Paula Mustica, who is our outbound growth developer, and she'll talk to you a little bit more about the course if you have other questions, and she'll also sign you up. And you can, once you're registered, we can also take online payment, so it makes it easier for you.
Okay, and do you happen to have, off the top of your head, Paula's email address?
You're
going to kill me, aren't you, by asking that question?
I believe it's I can double check, but I believe it's PMMUSTICO@empowersource.com.
I think that's correct too. Yes, it's PMustico@empowersource.com. Also, just I can let you know, as someone who feels these emails all day, if you go to the empowersource.com website, there is an evolvetogether@empowersource.com. If you were to send an email to the evolvetogether@empowersource.com saying, hey, send me information on the business planning bootcamp, then I could forward that on to the proper parties and get Paula to reach out to you to make sure that you get all that information. Now, business planning bootcamp, is there a requirement to like raisins in your donuts?
I'll ignore it if you don't. Let's just say that. Turn a blind eye to it.
Do we have to drink Tim Hortons coffee?
If you've ever drank it and you disliked it, there may be issues. I'm just kidding. But I do want to say one more thing about the business planning bootcamp. Not only I use as an organization who has a CEO and other financial, or just not just financial, but other decision makers in the organization as a good group of people who benefit from the business planning bootcamp. But I just want to throw out there, I think this business planning bootcamp would be awesome for all chambers. If you have a lot of memberships in your chamber, they right now more than ever could utilize some business planning. So if you are a chamber and you're thinking about how can I help my small business members, this would be a fantastic opportunity to help them. Just had to say that.
No, that's great. I know that lots of businesses are having to pivot right now. It's always in times of adversity that like entrepreneurs sort of step up to the plate because there's more needs. So there's more opportunities here. So it'll be exciting to see what comes next, I guess, for in terms of entrepreneurs, of what problems are solved. I mean, I know the recession when I was in high school gave us Netflix. And I will tell you, we would not have made it through the pandemic without Netflix. I feel like we can all say hallelujah.
Absolutely. And the last recession is when Uber was birthed. So, I mean, that's changed so much, right? I mean, that's changed our culture immensely. I think that if somebody works with me, I think you can also attest to the fact that they'll receive a few ideas.
That's okay. Dear listener, I don't want to tell you how many ideas you'll receive because it will overwhelm you. but it's going to be somewhere in the ballpark of 5,000 to 1 million. And like, I'm going to say a good 98% of them are going to be fantastic. 2% are going to be, hey, let's draw a comic book by tomorrow afternoon. That's your one, like, your one idea where you're like, no, that's not going to happen. No, thank you. But 99% of those, I know you love stats. I don't know if you know this, but like 48.7% of stats are made up on the spot. This one is true. No, it's not at all. 99% of your ideas are fantastic. I mean, that is true-ish. You know, I haven't done research. Yeah, don't quote me on that. You know.
Well, but, like, so when I talked about the lady who came to me, who was the baker, when she came to me, I have to say, like, the commercial selling was my idea, because I'm like, let's evaluate the marketplace. So if the good thing about going through this with me is if you kind of are in the, you just can't think of a new idea because maybe you've just been in your business for too long and you just can't think about things differently. Because let's face it, when you stare at something day in and day out, it's hard to get a new idea. I might be able to help give you fresh perspective. I think that's what Elizabeth's saying, is that I might be able to get you to think about things in a different way.
Well, a good leader always surrounds themselves with smart people. And you are for sure a smart person, because one thing I always say is you can't see the back of your own head. So It's important to have other smart people to be like, hey, dummy, the back of your head is all jacked. And so that could be your role. And I think that that's a really smart thing to do, no matter whether you're running a business, starting a business, buying a business, minding your own business.
But I will not say, hey, dummy. Let's just make that clear. I'm not going to say that.
To be clear, I am not leading the business planning boot camp. They don't let me talk to people, except for, like, I only am allowed to talk to people on, like, the internet. I'm not allowed, like, in real life to do it. Because I say things like, hey, dummy. It's part of my charm. I've been told it's endearing. You know, those people were probably lying. But thank you so much, Tiffany, for walking me through the business planning boot camp. I learned a lot. And if you would like to hear more from Tiffany, you can check out other podcasts on our website. Our website is www.empowersource.com. You can also follow Tiffany Joy Green on LinkedIn. And she is very smart and knows lots about marketing and business planning and statistics and basically all the things, except for how to take her donuts. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to talking to you again.